My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song. Velocity Child here. Welcome to Fallen Woman. Thank you for listening. Very delighted with who I have with me tonight. Ammo O'Day.
Hello.
Yes. And Joe Boobs Weldon.
Hello.
And Johnny Pork Pie.
Hello.
Hey, come a little closer, Johnny Pork Pie. You're kind of far
it's
away.
So relaxing against your.
I know you're on that ottoman. Maybe if you were on the bouncy ball, you'd feel differently.
I think I probably would feel differently.
Speaking of feeling differently, Joe, you were recently attacked on the street. I'd like you to share that with our listeners so some people know they're not alone.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and I can remember when I was young, and it was like walking a gauntlet to go down a city street. You know, you couldn't, I was gonna say you couldn't go three blocks, but I would sometimes be harassed like three times on one block, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And just that ongoing thing. But as I've gotten older, one of the beautiful things is that it happens much less. Mm. But I still have that muscle tension, you know, that muscle memory of people
being on guard.
Yeah.
You're prepared. Mm-hmm. Your body's preparing yourself for
right.
that experience.
And I was, last week I was sitting on a broad windowsill on Broadway,
uh-huh.
in broad daylight, being a broad.
But I'm bumped.
And,
there's
I was,
something to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was talking on the phone to someone about something that was upsetting, and we were both crying, and I hung up, and I was going to let myself have a little cry sitting there. I was out of the way, but, you know, in New York, people cry on the streets, so it didn't feel like that big of a deal.
Yeah, people scream on the streets.
Yeah, I hate that. But crying, you know, it's like, I didn't right? feel like I was
gentler.
In the flow. I felt like I was off the street in this little window with my bag. And this dude bro comes up to me and says, hey, can I keep you company or something like that? And I said, okay, I'm crying. Dude walks up to me. This is not a friendly thing to do. You know, I know that he's looking for that vulnerability. And I said, no, thank you. I want to be alone. And he kept talking to me about dating me. And I said, I really don't want to talk to you at all. And he said, well, do you want me to eat your pussy? And I said, okay, fuck all the way off.
No.
Right?
Nope.
And he, and it escalated really fast. Oh. He started getting more and more vulgar and telling me all the things he wanted to do to me. And I kept telling him, and, you know, no, in certain terms, like, I know what
and
he
what's
is.
And what's crazy is he's within earshot of a gang of strangers, I'm sure.
Well, there were people walking by, but yeah. We weren't, it was a, you know, it was loud, it's Broadway, and we weren't that loud yet. And so I was getting sick of it, and I told him, I'm going to call my boyfriend and you can fuck off. So I called Johnny, and Johnny and I were talking. So Johnny and I were on the phone, and the guy kept on.
Just hear him in the background of the phone call.
Just one.
Oh, I miss him so fucking pissed.
One fucked up thing after another, and saying he's like, is that your boyfriend? I'm going to beat him up, and I'm going to fuck you, and everything. I say, okay. You know, and it's accelerating, it's getting louder, it's getting more heated, he's leaning in. And I'm not afraid at all. Like, not at all.
And he looks just like your average, everyday, normal bro dude.
Dude bro, yeah.
Wow.
Dude bro. Young, you know. And I figure, like, I also figure he's got friends nearby watching this happen. Like, this, that's, you know.
Most likely.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And,
like it was a dare.
And Johnny said, take his picture. And I was like, I'm going to take this fucker's picture and post it. And I hold up the phone to take a picture of him. He's like, don't fucking take my picture. Grabs my phone and starts pushing me down and screaming at me. And I started screaming at him. And I could not push him back. And so he's pushing me down, pushing me down, pushing me down, and yelling at me and winding up. He's pulling his hand back, and all these people walk up. And he takes off. And I've been in situations that were actually got much more violent than that.
So other outsiders did descend upon the situation.
Yeah, it took him a while to realize anything was going on.
You said you started getting louder.
I started getting louder. It started getting... But they could see that we were wrestling. Like, we were wrestling.
Jesus.
And, you know, he had the shark eyes.
Yeah.
Like the... And I wasn't scared at all, but when I realized he was stronger than I was, because it wasn't my first time in a situation like this.
Not your first time at the rodeo.
No.
Right.
But either he was stronger or I'm out of practice at getting into fights on the street.
It's been a while.
Right, it's been a while. And I'm like, I'm ready for it. Because I was like, he's going to hit me. And then it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, when he hits me, he'll let go of me, and I'll get him. And but he ran off, and I started crying because I knew he's just going to walk off and do the next block and do it to somebody else, and I didn't get a picture of him, and I can't get my hands on him. I was so mad. But it shook me up more because I'm out of practice of being in those violent situations. Mm.
Here's a little tip for those of you on the other end of that phone call. You cannot three-way call 911.
Really?
Fuck.
Yeah.
He was trying to call 911.
So I tried to switch over with her on the line, call 911, and switch back.
So that in there with her, yeah.
It was together, but once you're over on 911, you can't...
That's not cool at all.
No, it seems really dangerous.
That is very, very dangerous.
Like, because that seems like you're on the phone with someone... They don't want to get off the phone with you to call 911.
No.
Seems like a great, like, you're okay, I'm going to call, but then I can't get back to get information about where she is on the phone.
That's
so
not good.
Something to know and something to change.
I wouldn't have thought that was the case, honestly. Mm-hmm.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
That's horrible.
Wow. And you only know, I guess, when you're in this scenario, that's the dealio.
Yep.
You probably, I would imagine you're shocked at that situation. You're like, what the fuck? Why can't I?
That's our world right now? Okay.
But you've never heard anything like that on the phone before, have you?
Not that I remember, but that doesn't necessarily mean I haven't heard something similar.
It's the first time that I've been on the phone while I was in that situation.
Wow. And I'm there thinking, God, I'm terrified. What must she be feeling? You know?
Yeah, mad is what I'm feeling. Mad. I was scared, but I was mad.
Almost like scared of your own anger, your rage, like what might actually occur.
Yeah, but I was, you know, I was like, because I'm so used to just being like, I can take him, and then he was pushing me down. I was like, I can't stay up.
And all this on the eve of your birthday coming up.
Yeah, my one would be 55 on August 7th.
Day.
Yeah.
By the way, pro tip for
you
boys.
You are definitely a witch.
You're going to be... Did you say you're going to be 55?
Yeah.
55. 50 fabulous.
Double
yes.
digits.
Yes.
New demographic.
That's a master number.
Yeah.
You know.
I wonder if my insurance will go.
Yes. That doesn't have to do with your age. But I just want to, for any boys listening, pro tip, the girl you just walked up to in the street doesn't want you to eat her pussy.
No.
He
categorically no.
They know that we don't.
Yeah,
they're not hitting
on thanks
us.
Thanks for saying that.
I appreciate
just,
that.
I think it, you know, just in case anyone was wondering if this is a good approach.
It's not the approach.
No.
Yeah, they're not hitting on us.
No.
It's never that.
It's not the
cheese. They never think. You know, they never think it's leading to a date.
Well, you know, actually, I should talk about this story because...
the Grolsch bottle?
No, well, I'm going to get to that, but there's something else.
Oh.
So, I work at a bar. I'm not going to say where. You know, it was a regular... The last 2 weeks I've had to deal with are like a regular... Who has always seemed fine to me. Very friendly guy, just kind of looks like a long-haired stoner, just like his eyes are always squinty, and he's just like, yeah, dude, you know, it's just like, I'm just like, whatever, it's like Beavis and Butthead kind of thing. There's a girl that's a regular too that he was harassing last week, to the point where numerous male regulars had to be like, you gotta go, like, right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And he came in last night, and she was there, and he walked in, and I was like, you need to chill the fuck out today, because I will throw you out. And he was like, but what, you know, and he was like, literally dumbfounded. He did not understand why she was upset. I'm like, you were following her around, and she said, get the fuck away from me. That's all you need to hear. And he was like, but, and I was like, no, you don't understand. You can leave the house at any hour of the day and not be afraid. She takes your constant, like, I understand if she's mad at you and you want to fix it, but you keep going is not fixing it. It's making her be afraid of you. And he was just like...
Well, even if the tables are turned, and if it was like a dude being stalked and harassed by a chick...
But
like,
he was like, honestly...
It was just as creepy.
He was honestly... She was like, she's
the
afraid...
The lack of respect.
He was
boundaries.
Shocked that she was like, she's afraid of me? I was like, yes, you fucking idiot.
You
won't leave her alone. It's at night. She has to leave by herself. You're like following her around the bar and trying to force her to talk to you. Go the fuck away. And like, but I actually, like, I think by the end of the conversation, he was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that I was like, yes. You might think you're trying to fix the situation by defending yourself to her. She thinks you're going to attack her.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. That's, like, as a woman, that's what I'm seeing, and you need to get the fuck away. And he was, like, horrified by the fact that she thought that. Like, he really just, and I was like, and, you know, he, as I said, he wasn't a kid. He was, you know, at least early 30s, you know. And I'm like, and this is, you know, and I've gotten into discussions with numerous, actually men lately, not women, but men. And they're like, you know, well, you know, about women thinking that all men are assholes. I'm like, actually, I'm not one of those. I love men. I have a lot of male friends. I'm friends with, you know, the majority of my exes, unless they're complete assholes. I'm like, I don't think...
Most of my closest friends are men.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think that men are assholes, all of them. I think that the way they are raised and the way we are raised are two completely different things. And, you know, they just don't match up because of how we're raised and how we're taught to treat each other.
So, what were you going to say about the...
About what?
What she was saying a minute ago with her.
Well, a lot of times, you know, and that feeling of fear, I don't feel afraid that the person is going to hurt me. I feel afraid that things are going to escalate and it's going to occupy my time and my energy.
Yeah.
So there have been times when I'm genuinely afraid for my physical well-being or whatever, but most of the time it's just like, please let me have my energy and my privacy. Please.
That, and I also, I don't want to be on an episode of Wives and Knives or whatever. Like, I don't want to be in jail. Like, I don't want to be pushed into a situation where I have to, you know, rage the fuck out to
protect myself.
Like when
I hit that kid with the brush
fire. And then get concerned that, you know, I could get arrested because I defended myself too much.
Well, what you just asked
I've never worried about that.
My biggest fear is my own rage. Like,
but what,
you know, I don't want to be pushed into that corner because I know I'm capable of. I'm like,
I just grew up with so much violence and people just beating each other up and nothing ever happening. It didn't cross my mind.
Well, what you brought up to me earlier about that story, or, I mean, I don't know how long ago that was. It had to be, 15
it was
years?
2000s, early 2000s, probably like maybe 2002.
Yeah, so Velocity and I were in Greenpoint. It was before
it was cool.
Before it was a cool place to live and super expensive. She was I had given her my old apartment and she was living in my old apartment. It's the first time I'd been back in the neighborhood. Mind you, I had lived there for 6 years and never had a problem. I've never been even remotely approached by anybody about anything negative. We had gone to dinner, we were definitely, you know, buzzed and we've had a few drinks. We're walking, like, maybe
we had some sake at the Thai restaurant.
Yeah, but we were like literally 2 blocks from the apartment.
Yeah.
And so we stopped on the corner. We stopped on the corner to get some beer, and I bought one of those Grolsch bottles with the cork. It's like super thick glass bottles. And we were walking down the street, and there was like, I think there were, I remember four teenagers, they had to be like, I don't know. between 13
definitely
and 16.
Definitely underage.
And literally all four of them came up to me and like they all just like grabbed.
I was like in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
I didn't see my periphery and I just, something went crazy in my periphery first thing. I'm like, what the? And next thing I know, I just turn around and you're like, you've got the crush bottle and you're swinging it over the top of your head. And you're kind of doing like a hi-ya, like if you're coming up the air, like as you're all spry and tiny, but so you can leap, and you're like, and you've been doing
sounds
kickboxing.
Funny now,
she'd been doing a lot of kickboxing at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Oh yeah.
So like you got all kickboxing, hi-ya, and like rodeoed on this guy's head with his grosh bottle, like made a big old clunk.
Yeah.
They all freaked out and ran.
And
I was like, dude,
and
what the fuck just happened?
And I don't remember doing that. Like, I just, like, I just like.
All I remember.
Like,
what?
I got touched,
what?
And I just, like, I just saw red. And I don't know. I have no, like, until
I
we got back
the
to
incident,
the.
Incident, but I turned and I saw the aftermath, and I was like, wow.
Like, until we got back to the apartment.
Kickboxing pays off.
I wasn't really conscious of what happened until we got back to the apartment. And I sat down, and I was like.
Yeah, and you were understanding.
And you were like,
upset.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I got that kid grabbed you by your crotch.
Yeah, there's. But they all grabbed me. Like,
yeah.
They all just went for
well,
the body.
Well, that was
part.
The one that. That's when you lost your shit.
You know, and we look really young still, so at that point, we probably looked like we were like.
Their
you
age.
You know, their age. You know, they did. I don't
yeah,
think
yes.
they realized, you know, we were that much older than them.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that, like, yeah, I just lost my shit. Because I was like, you know.
Can I pass this to... I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've been getting more of that kind of, like, street hassling stuff this summer than I got the past several summers. Like, I'm definitely getting more...
Post-election.
Yep. I'm definitely getting more people, like, not... You know, and I'm pretty friendly on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely getting more of that, like...
Stands to reason. I mean, I would imagine the online harassment that all the women are getting in increased amounts will certainly match the street harassment, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about street harassment.
And
nobody harasses me online. I mean, every now and then.
Oh, I've had to block
dick
more
pic, but every
people,
time I get a dick pic, I just send them the dick pic I got before them. I was like, oh
I wish it was just over dick pics. No, it's over my political beliefs and shit. Like, I get...
Oh, I don't.
I have to crazy block, and it's always, like, some straight white dude. I hate to say that. I don't want to be on that bandwagon. I hate that fact. But I gotta say, I've never in my life had to block this many people, and it's been since the election, and 90% straight white dude.
Mm-hmm.
Not that surprising, unfortunately.
Well, why does it have to be like that?
I haven't had to block that many people, so I've unfollowed a few.
You're
people.
A lot more open though in discussion. I'm not interested in holding a major. I can't on my page. It's just my little place, and I don't want to have some big. Angry political knockdown, drag out, whatever on my page, whereas you're very graceful about it. I'm not saying that referring to you, but if that were to be on my page, that's what it would turn into. I have a harder time holding back. So I just sort of like, well, nope, I'm not going to get into it at all on the page.
I'm the same.
People don't start with me.
I feel the same way, Velocity.
And I have Trump supporters in my friends list for sure.
I have a few, some old high school friends that. I forgive them.
Did I tell you about the one that I've known for like over 20 years and I unfollowed them because they were posting all this Trump. It's like they're living in another world and I guess I look the same to them. But they're
right.
Posting, like they're not getting the same news. We were talking earlier about how we used to all get the same news and
Yeah.
And so I unfollowed them because I just didn't want to, I didn't want to unfriend them. And so every now and then I'll go back on their page and see how they're doing. And they're a flat earther.
Oh,
what?
No, not one of those. Are you fucking kidding me? I recently heard about that and it blew my tiny mind. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? People
really?
Are now trying to, you know, it's Holocaust deniers. That fucking fucks me up. But now people are saying the fucking earth is flat.
And
they are.
And the posts are like, just open your mind.
Hey, you know, I believe in aliens, so it makes someone like me look a little less crazy. That's the price.
We're high-fiving each other for those who can't see us. Yes. We're high-fiving.
Round table high-five. Oh, wait, here comes Jerry.
Hey. It's just that odd, like, how could you vote for Trump?
Yeah.
And then...
because they believe the Earth is flat.
And all of a sudden, I went, oh...
Where do they think it ends? Can I ask that question?
I know.
Where do they think it falls?
This is a person who has flown around the world. This is a person who has spent time in Japan.
Oh, somebody help.
I'll get it.
Oh. Uh-oh.
Saved by the
daisy.
The flat earthers?
This person has spent a lot of time in Japan and that kind of thing, and they are still for the flat earth idea.
I don't understand.
And the person is very irritated with people who aren't open-minded about the possibility that the earth is flat.
I just want to know where they think it falls off.
That doesn't even work scientifically or with quantum physics.
I mean, or
anything.
Yeah, well, do these people use GPS?
I don't understand, what?
GPS is entirely based on a round Earth.
She probably doesn't know
from
that.
A satellite. It's pinging a satellite.
It's a very good
if
point.
It's not a round Earth, then it doesn't work. No. And sometimes it's a little wonky, I'll admit.
It does. But
that's
not,
because
not flat
there
Earth
be dragons. There be dragons on the end of the day. I don't think of myself as particularly like in the know or great at, you know, science or anything, but it isn't just that I'm used to thinking of the Earth as round. It's like I've flown around it. And there's this whole...
window in an airplane.
But this is the thing. No, yeah. This is the thing. People who believe these things have explanations. And I can't remember what the explanation is for why people think the world is round.
I can't imagine.
I can't remember the explanation, but I just... It just made...
The weird thing is...
How did I even know this person all this
time? Been in Japan. I don't understand how they get...
Yeah, they spend a lot of time in Japan.
I mean, I believe the moon is square, but that's based
well,
on basic
like a
basic misunderstanding
of the
word square.
It's like a piece of American cheese.
Yeah.
Kind of square like that? A couple of plastic wrapper.
But you know, then you're saying, like, okay, believes in Trump, Earth is flat. Okay. It doesn't make sense, but it comes together.
An entire dismissal of evidence.
There's a worldview there, you know. There's a rejection of logic and science.
Fact.
Yeah. I feel like we're about to go back to the days where a public execution will be entertainment.
That's
some Game of Thrones shit.
Like,
right
no, mentality, the mentality of where we're at these
I
days.
I think we are seeing public executions, but they're
social
executions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cops.
Yeah.
Cops,
yeah, but that's not done for the public's viewing. And we're talking about things that are done for the public's viewing, which is a particular take on punishment. Mm-hmm. Remember shaming, the pillorying, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, like
beheading
word
in the square,
police,
kind of mm-hmm.
PC shit, yeah.
You and I have very different definitions of PC. My definition of PC is respectful and compassionate.
I think that's the positive side of it, but there's a dark side
of
it.
That's the only side of it. If you call people what they want to be called, you're respectful and
compassionate. Let's take a look at Christianity, for example.
Also, I think being politically correct right now...
The light, bright side of Christianity has a lot of good ideas. Do unto others.
But you could get all that from other religions.
You know, it comes from this really positive standpoint. But then some people can take that idea and twist it for their own means.
Sure, but you're speaking as if there is a political correctness movement. It doesn't exist. It was out of date when I got to college in 1992.
Well, I'm not saying it's a movement. I just know people are losing their jobs right now because they, you know, something they said.
To me, if you want to talk about political correctness right now, it's people who agree with the president. Those are the people who are politically correct.
What?
Right? That's politics right now.
I appreciate that standpoint, though. That's a... refreshing to look at it.
But anyone, and I, to me, politically correct is a tool that has been used by people who want to be assholes. I'm not accusing you of that, though. I mean, you do have fun with it sometimes. But by straight white men who want to be assholes to excuse their own behavior.
No, that's not where I come from. No.
I know you don't. But this is what I've seen on a national level. It's what I've seen on a Trumpian level. He says, I'm not going to be politically correct, but Mexicans are rapists.
For me.
Like, that's what follows.
For me, as a woman, and looking at the history of women in this society, patriarchy, if you will, there's been a lot of enforced silence upon them. They really haven't been able to have their own platform or voice. So while we're possibly on a verge where maybe we could have a voice, I'd really hate to be censored. And as a feminist, that's my perspective.
I will say this. A lot of times when people are talking about politically correct and they say that they don't want to be censored, what they mean is that they don't want to hear a contradictory opinion. And the purpose of free speech... I know you don't.
That's what I'm...
But
the
purpose of free speech is to encourage debate, not agreement. So if you say something and someone perceives it as let's just say sexist, since that's what we've got in the room, right? So say someone says, oh, that's sexist, and someone said, oh, don't come down all politically correct on me. They're trying to shut you up with that, right?
Right.
So the desire to shut other people up, I don't care if it's politically correct or politically incorrect. It's the desire to shut other people down that bothers me.
Yes.
So for me, it's okay if I have to watch myself, because when I look back at my history, I can see a lot of things that I've done that are hurtful. And so if I have to be more sensitive, I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Well, you know, I'm not
to be
against
more
that
sensitive.
Either.
I know,
oh,
I know. But that's how people use it a lot. Right. And you know that I'm not, like, I don't swallow all of it, and I see a lot of ego stuff and everything going on. But if my goal is to be kind and compassionate, I don't achieve it, and I'm a snarky asshole most of the time, but my goal is to be a compassionate person. What I don't want to do is turn my back on the people in power that I'm actually mad at, to focus on people within my community that are frustrating me, because that's what they want. That's how that works. The 1% keeps the 99%. They keep the third estate at each other's throats.
Yeah.
And even if I have to be really careful about the way that I get frustrated sometimes,
because
it easily turns. If I have to turn my back 180 degrees on the person who's sexist in order to critique the way that other people talk about that person,
mm-hmm.
then I have turned my back on the problem face within. It's like everybody's facing in a circle with a gun. Instead of facing out.
That's exactly what it feels like.
Go one step further on that and say that if you take the time to critique the person critiquing the people, then you're ignoring the initial problem. The initial problem is this person who's sexist, right?
Yeah.
And then let's call it a problem that is a direct result of the other problem, which is someone saying, this person is sexist.
That's sexist, that's in power, that's usually the problem.
Right.
Right.
And so this,
who
this person
actually in
who's
power.
Probably not in power is saying, this person is sexist. And then, so they turn away from them because there's someone else to talk to. But then there's a whole other level that's starting to happen where people are complaining about the complainers. And the thing that is happening...
A lot, yeah.
Right. And so that
that too.
And so we've got... It distracts from whatever the issue is. It distracts from the sexist person. As I almost said guy, but
right.
I did want
they
to be sexist.
But there's a difference.
There's misandry as well as misogyny.
There is not. That is a tool of the oppressor.
There's
the concept of misandry is a tool of the oppressor.
No,
like
there's a difference. Wait. Let me say, though. There's a difference. There's a difference between complaining about complainers and when complainers are coming for you instead of the prime target and you have to react. And they come for you for your reputation, for your job, for your relationships, for your whatever. And then you have to respond to them, and it's such a fucking waste of time.
Right.
But you can't say, oh, okay, just say something about me because for some reason you associate me with the primary source of the problem. You do have to react. You do have to respond.
Can I just say I really love that you're wearing that dress.
Hieronymus Bosch.
Hieronymus Bosch.
It's awesome.
Johnny gave me
Garden,
this. It's
got, Garden of Earthly Delights?
It's Garden of Earthly Delights on one side and Hell on the other side.
Oh my God.
It's
oh
a
my God.
Reversible.
It's reversible.
Wait. It's a
what?
Reversible
oh,
Hieronymus Bosch
thank
dress.
Thank you for showing us your beautiful tummy.
Yes, you're welcome. My tummy is full of
is
so much beef.
Short rib, baby.
That was the most amazing piece of rib I've ever seen. That's the biggest rib I've
it
ever had.
It was the brontosaurus rib from Mighty Quinn's.
It totally had that Flintstones look. Yeah,
I'm going to have to remember that the next time I'm on the show and I have to reference
your,
that gigantic thing.
We'll have to go there.
That
brontosaurus ribs.
I should say, do you know how I knew to get this for her?
He didn't get this
gift,
for me.
Right?
Yeah,
it was
no,
my birthday present.
But I've got a sort of fail-safe method of getting her stuff she likes.
Mm-hmm.
I just
yeah.
listen when she talks about something she wants, and then like a week later she'll have forgotten about it.
And he's good at telling which are the things I actually want.
Yes, but you know, basically my entire gift buying technique is to let her tell me what she wants, which I think is a really good gift buying technique.
It's a fail-safe.
And then sneak away and get it behind her back.
Well, you just pay attention.
Hmm?
You're actually listening to her when she talks to you.
Fuck you.
You set me up for it.
Oh, well, okay,
totally.
Speaking of setting you up, tell us about oysters.
I'm so glad you asked.
You know, there you go, perfect segue.
Because it fits so well
nailed
into the
it.
Rest of this conversation.
Oh, yeah. Fucking
nailed
that,
it.
Listen, oysters are very vaginal.
Mm, that's true.
Yes.
Well,
I do not chew on vagina.
I don't chew on oysters. Man.
I really wish you had said that.
Saying that while
I have a mouthful of wine, Joe, is not my favorite moment there. I almost choked to death. Joe,
I do not chew
me.
On oysters.
I do chew on oysters.
I slurp them.
She just doesn't chew on vaginas.
No.
But do you slurp them?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry, listening audience, that you couldn't see the grin on her face.
It was like the Cheshire.
Yeah.
I brought up oysters when you asked, what is it you want to talk about?
Yeah, that was the first thing out of your mouth.
Yeah, well, because I've just been reading this article that my friend Joey sent me on, I guess it's OZY.com. It was talking about the history of oysters in New York.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, how big do you guys think that oysters were back in, let's say, the 1400s?
I don't know, because I have seen some crazy big oyster photos with, like, tons of pearls inside of them.
So, apparently...
Like, Kraken oysters, you know?
Yeah, but
the size from the
of
edge of the
photos,
flat
the size of dinner plates,
yes.
apparently. Dickens
yes.
described the
Sitting.
Oysters he got in New York as the size of dinner plates.
It's like a meal.
And that, apparently... the size they were before
wow.
before any of us white folks showed up.
But I
yeah,
like teeny tiny oysters.
Civilization.
I
yeah.
fucked
little
up
the
oysters.
Oysters.
We did hook up the oysters.
My West Coast to me are my faves, and they are smaller.
Mm-hmm. I like the little tender,
little
tiny
oysters.
It's Oyster Street was named because it used to be covered in oyster shells.
Oh,
yeah. People, yeah, it used to be a, you know, street food. Literally, you'd pick
wow.
them up off the street and eat them.
Yeah,
I would
throw them on some flatbread.
And then we overate
some
them.
Hot sauce on it. Lemon juice, good to go.
I have
this
to
giant
have
oyster just
now
slather
we have
on
to
some
have
flatbread.
Just pick it off the street with a fork. I got some bread.
Yeah, fold it.
Several white oysters.
Pizza.
Yeah.
I love $1 oyster happy hours.
Yes, I really enjoy. What's your favorite oyster joint?
I don't really have a favorite oyster joint, but I do
whichever one is in front.
Yeah. But we've gone to, you know, the Oyster Bar at Grand Central.
What is that place in Brooklyn called Maison?
I've been there. That's very good.
It's my favorite.
It's in Williamsburg, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's off the L train.
Maison.
Upstate on First Avenue is really good, too. Upstate is like First and Fifth, and it's like oysters paired with like craft beer or wine, and that's all they sell.
Mm-hmm. And the Mermaid Inn in the West Village.
I've never been there.
The small one, they do really great oyster shooters.
Mm.
And they'll like happily replace the vodka with tequila for me. Like if I want to do more Bloody Maria oyster shooters.
Wow.
I love Bloody Marias. I had one the other day. It wasn't nearly as amazing as the one in New Orleans. New Orleans has ruined Bloody Marys for me.
Can't top their Bloody Marys.
I don't know what the fuck is in there, but it's a magical experience, and I can't have them in here because it just doesn't taste good.
It's always the darker shade.
Yeah, I don't know what's in there.
Mix.
Green beans.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always within walking distance of an oyster in New Orleans.
Always.
Yeah, exactly.
I do miss that.
So,
that was the exciting news I wanted to share. Oysters used
and,
to be
and right and what bad girls wear.
What
Joe,
bad girls
tell me
wear?
About that.
Well, I'm finishing. You know, actually, there's something I want to tell you before I talk about that. I want to tell you about the history of leopard print. About this person who came across in the research.
And this led up to what bad girls wear.
No, that was all. I was already working on that when I started working on the history of leopard print, but I didn't finish one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so and my publisher is down with it, so everything's in good shape. But okay, so the history of leopard print. So I'm doing all this research, and I, you know, needless to say, Googling and Pinteresting for images, and I saw an image of this young woman. And a leopard fur coat with a machine gun, and like her hair and her makeup done, and she's in the middle of these snowy woods. I'm like, who is this badass? And so I looked her up, and her name is Faye Shulman, and the picture's from the 40s.
Wow.
During World War II in Poland.
Mm. What?
So, yeah, this is gonna blow your mind.
All right, that makes it even crazier.
Yeah.
Poland was not doing well.
She was not doing well. So she was in this town, Lenin, on the in Poland on the Russian border, and you know Nazis came in, and you know they worked their way up to their horribleness. They started out by just occupying and you know and taking advantage of people and doing you know annoying things. But then they started to get forceful and powerful.
So polite.
And no, well they were originally, and then they asked all the Jews, or they took all the fur from the Jews. And in the 40s, like you didn't have that many alternatives to fur in that kind of climate. So it's comfort, it's status, and for Orthodox Jews, there's a religious significance in the fur hats, right? So they took all their fur. And this leopard coat was something they took from her.
Mm.
So then they slaughtered everybody in the village except for about 7 people.
That sucks. She
was one of the ones that survived. And they left her alive because she was a photographer and they wanted her to photograph their great
work.
Develop
the photo.
So she took photographs, she developed, and she colorized them. Right? And they had her training her replacement so that they could kill her because she's Jewish.
Oh.
And so she wisely split and ended up joining the partisans. And
so she made a great escape.
So at one point the partisans decided that they would like to have their great accomplishments photographed, and they did a raid back on the city to get her camera equipment, which they did, and she found that leopard fur coat and took it back.
Wow. Oh my God.
And that's what that picture is. And there's more to the story. I mean, it's a difficult read. It's a very difficult read.
Really?
Yeah, it's painful.
Like The Handmaid's Tale. worse.
That's a difficult read. No, I'm sorry, it's worse. I'm sorry,
okay.
It's worse.
It's no, true. That's one of the toughest reads I've ever had to go through.
I know, but that's because
of
the way it's written. This is just a true story, and you're reading about one thing after another that's really hard to take.
She found out her parents were dead because they had her
they had her develop
the photo.
Pictures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Jesus. So this is, you know, and one of the things I'm doing in the history of leopard print is I keep finding these remarkable people that I would never have heard of otherwise, you know, because it's not a matter of fashion history. It's not out there. Nobody talks about this particular aspect, but it's in her book. It's in the pictures of her. And there was a theme in the resistance in France because the German women who were allowed to come to the political meetings weren't allowed to wear makeup. They had that very wholesome German look. Now, of course, the Nazi wives were dressed up at parties, but that's a whole other horrible thing. But so the women in the resistance made sure that they had their style on and their hair and their makeup done. And so she, without really knowing about that, was kind of doing the same thing, maybe not consciously, but in this photo for sure. So, yeah, so it doesn't tie into anything else except that's what I've been working on, and I just am so fascinated by some of the people that I'm discovering that aren't what I was looking for when I started the history of leopard print. And I was like, okay, so this is a print that a lot of badass women wear, right? And that came up.
Fuck yeah.
Interesting. My grandmother...
Faye Shulman. Her name is Faye Shulman, and she has an autobiography, and she's still alive.
Oh.
Faye, F-A-Y-E.
Right.
Yeah, my grandmother, my dad's mom, may she rest in peace, she was awesome. She loved leopard print. She was like it's funny, because I went to my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary with an ex-boyfriend at the time, you know, with my boyfriend at the time. And, you know, they have those, like, a family thing, like, they have, like, collages of every picture they've ever taken together. And there was this picture of her, this black and white photo of her with a beehive, and my boyfriend comes up to me while I'm looking and goes, "When did you take that picture?" And I was like,
"Wow.
Are you looking at the picture? It's black and white. She has a beehive. It is my grandma."
Oh, wow.
Like, and he was just that stunned that I looked that much like her, like me and my aunt and her. And you know, she had like two holes in each ear. She wore like ear clips. She always had she was the one that taught me about like nail polish and makeup, and she chain smoked until she died. You know, I think all I ever saw her have was like Lipton tea and chocolate and a cigarette. Like, I don't think I ever saw her with like actual food. It was like, I remember like she made pudding on a cloud numerous times, but like actual food. I'm like, I don't know if I recall her ever actually eating any food. But it was great though. Every seat in the house, there was a dish of chocolate.
Oh wow!
You couldn't sit. You couldn't sit anywhere in the house.
That's like me with hard candy.
Yeah, like if she could sit there, she could reach chocolate. Yes. And she was a Virgo like me too. So,
oh,
yeah.
Virgo.
And she had her hair red, and she had it blonde, and she had it black, and she was like, you know, she's a fashion lady. So I definitely take after her in many ways.
So, what bad girls wear?
It's a book about the various things that women have gotten in trouble for wearing in history.
Does this connect with your feelings about compassion in 2017?
No. Not at all.
I was just curious.
That was the worst thing
I think the only way
I felt the compassion for it.
The only way to increase the only
I'm
way
serious.
To increase compassion in 2017 is to really examine our motives for everything we do and make sure that we're being compassionate.
True to ourselves.
Like not demanding it from other people, but demanding it from ourselves.
Can I ask you a book question about the bad girl situation?
Yeah.
So, do you go into footwear? Is it clothes or is it accessories too?
It's clothes, accessories, hair, skin.
Because I'm curious because, you know, when you think of high heels, you know, they were developed by men to keep us from running very far. But yet we've also been in trouble for wearing
them. Well, it was also
them.
Mating position.
Yeah, but
you
then
know, when the
but
woman
at the
is
same time,
conscious, she's prepared.
But at the
there's
same,
a history of men wearing them too.
True.
Wow.
But there's also
they have their own.
But the also the idea of wearing heels is like slutty, and.
Well, okay.
You know,
so what I'm what
you
I'm
know
doing
what I'm
with
saying? It's just like a,
what I'm doing with heels. My friend Laura Augustine has been collecting images of. So she's also a sex workers rights activist and advocate, and she's been collecting images from news articles that are those pictures of women leaning into cars from the waist down with the high heels on.
Ah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Totally.
Oh.
So. Mm-hmm. So that's I'm gonna focus on that when I talk about heels. I'm gonna talk briefly about the general history,
mm-hmm.
but I'm gonna talk to her, and
mm-hmm.
this will be with her. This would be, you know, like I'm not gonna co-opt her work. This
sure.
is, and she and I have already talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she has brilliant analysis. She's so funny. Like she's so funny, but just that whole. Thing, like that picture, you know, face not important, and
oh,
they
yeah.
act like it's out of discretion. I'm like, it's a model, you know.
Yeah.
And just the endless, like, you know, this is what sex work looks like. It's a woman from the waist down in high heels.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not the worst image I can think of, but it's just like
yeah. But I think in some German porn, it's like a chick and you see her face and everything, with the guy doing all these horrible things to her, is like wearing a ski mask.
Right, and the books about books and articles about strippers also almost always show the shoes, and
uh-huh.
her, and not so much the face.
Interesting.
But there's a whole thing about women in high heels from the waist down, like no face, and that meaning like oh, this is a sex. Not only is it about sex work, but it's fact based, right? It's journalism. It's
yeah.
an expose. Always. It's always, you know, oh, we're good. We're taking a look at this criminal activity
mm-hmm.
or semi-criminal activity.
Oh, yeah.
Well, real quick, Joe, where can we find you online?
Right now, schoolofburlesque.com. But,
fabulous.
But I'm developing joeweldon.com where they're all my projects will be listed.
You can also find you at historyofleopardprint.com.
It's easier to reach me through the School of Burlesque still, so joeweldon.com is where I'm going to aggregate everything.
And Johnny?
I'm not really online anymore.
Yay.
I find it improves my mental health extraordinarily.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, you can just Google Johnny Pork Pie and it's spelled...
No H in Johnny.
J-O-N-N-Y. Pork Pie, like that.
P as in pork pie, O as in orc pie, R as in orc pie. K as in kapai, P as in pie,
kampai,
I as in IE, E as in E, it's Johnny Pork Pie,
and ammo.
You can reach me at thefitnesswitch.com, fitnesswitch on Instagram and Facebook. And
every week we can hear your radio show?
Yes, my radio show is called I'm With Magic. It's on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. live.
And you've been listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you like what you hear, would like to support independent, censorship-free radio,
beep.
Feel free to donate to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. And you can pledge as little as a dollar a month. Hey, raise a glass, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
Woo.
Cheers.
It happened.
Polly wants a cracker. Think I should get off her first. Think she wants some water to put out the blowtorch. It's me, have a seat. Let me clip your dirty wings. Let me take a ride to put yourself. Want some help to help myself? I've got some rules you've been told. I promise you I've been true. Let me take a ride to hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. Polly wants a cracker. Maybe she would like more food. She asked me to untie her. A chase would be nice for a few. Is it me? Have a seat. Let me clip your dirty wings. Let me take a ride. Don't put yourself. I want some help to help myself. I've got some rules you've been told. Promise you I've been true. Let me take a ride. Don't hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. Polly says her back hurts. She's just as bored as me. She caught me off my guard. Amazes me the will of instinct. It is me. Have a seat. Let me clear dirty wings. Let me take a ride. Don't hurt yourself. I want some help to help myself. I've got some rope you've been told. I promise you I've been true. Let me take a ride. Don't hurt yourself. I want some help to fuck myself.
But she comes to you light as the breeze. You can drink or you can nurse it. It don't matter how you worship. As long as you're down on your knees. So I knelt there at the Delta, at the Alpha and the Omega. At the cradle of the river and the seas. And like a blessing come from heaven, for something like a second, I was healed and my heart was at ease. Oh baby, I've waited so long for your kiss. For something to happen. Oh, something like this. It's dark and it's snowing. Oh, my love, I must be going. The river is starting to freeze. I'm sick of pretending, and I'm broken from bending. I've lived too long on my knees. And she dances so graceful, and your heart's hard and hateful. And she's naked, but that's just a tease. From your hatred, from your love, and she comes to you light as a breeze. Oh baby, I've waited so long for your kiss, for something to happen. You can see it. You can Don't forget there's still a woman beneath this resplendent chemise. Had lied so much to me.